Hello, everyone. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday night roundup, and we're coming to you live tonight from Washington, D.C., and what a week it was. Well, we probably had between 1.8 and 2 million people here for the inauguration of Barack Obama as the president, and of course, it was very noticeable with the amount of trash that was left on the streets of Washington. At one point in time, I think I was wading through about an inch of trash, newspapers, bags. One thing for the folks that came here, you know, it did no good to trash the city. We drove the guy out that's been in that office for the last 8 years. The District of Columbia voted more than any other state in the country, overwhelmingly against Bush in 2000 and 2004 and against McCain in 2008. You won't find a more anti-Republican place in the country than Washington, D.C., and I think some of the people thought by throwing the trash around they were somehow sending a message to George Bush. Well, we all did that when the helicopter passed overhead on its way to Andrews Air Force Base. About 200 of us knew it was Bush's chopper, and he got the single-digit wave that he's even said it himself, that he's so used to seeing. Of course, he relished in that. The man, of course, is a sociopath, and I just hope that one day he'll be sitting in the dock in The Hague, him and Cheney and the rest of these war criminals facing criminal charges, along with the government of Israel and a few other Cretan leaders that made up this neocon cabal we've been suffering under for the last 8 years, people like Tony Blair, and there's a few others I can think of, guy from Australia, John Howard, who was given a Presidential Medal of Freedom and bumped Obama out of Blair House, the presidential guest house across from the White House. An amazing thing. It was a week of festivities here in Washington. New president. I really didn't realize that Bush was gone until the very next day, when the White House began issuing executive orders that I agreed with. I haven't experienced that in so long. Even under Bill Clinton, he issued a lot of things that I was not in favor of, on telecommunications reform and NAFTA and a whole bunch of other things. This was the first time in an awful long time I can remember welcoming things coming out of the White House. Everything from the Presidential Records Act. Now the Attorney General will have final say over the release of the records of former presidents, not the President of the United States, not the incumbent president. The Freedom of Information Act is back in force after it was basically abrogated by John Ashcroft as Attorney General. Gitmo, Guantanamo is being closed. Torture is no longer the policy of this nation. So there's many, many different things that came out of this White House that it didn't dawn on me, as I say, until the very next day, because after 8 years of the other thing, that everything coming out of the White House would just increase the angst, the tension, the doubts in this city. It was really a breath of fresh air, and I hope it continues. Anyway, we will be right back with you after this short break. Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup. And if you'd like to call the show this evening, the number, the toll-free number, is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. 313-9443. Before we went on the break, I was mentioning the inauguration, the festivities. I really believe that President Obama, and that's even hard to get used to. I never referred to Bush as President Bush. It was almost like the same thing after the beginning of the new year. People often still use the last year on checks, and you know they're very used to that type of thing. But the thing is with President Obama, it has a nice ring to it. I never referred to it was either Bush or the idiot in the White House. He didn't deserve the respect of the office of the presidency, since he had stolen the election twice. Just the mere fact of saying, once again, president and then the person's last name, that in itself is a real change here in Washington. And I think so far President Obama has exceeded my expectations. I didn't think he would be so fast to do the things that, of course, we all wanted him to do, close Guantanamo, really press Gates, the Secretary of Defense, to get the troops out of Iraq. He wants them out in 16 months. He's already facing opposition from the Pentagon. And, of course, if he's going to continue to get this opposition from the Pentagon, the solution to that is very simple. He needs to get rid of Robert Gates. Robert Gates is an old Bush person from Poppy Bush's days. He was in over his head in Iran-Contra. He was involved heavily in the October surprise that ran Jimmy Carter out of office in 1980. So it's very clear what he needs to do if Gates is going to oppose getting those troops out of Iraq. As far as Afghanistan, unfortunately, they've named Richard Holbrooke as the special envoy to Afghanistan and Pakistan. That is a mistake, in my opinion. Richard Holbrooke is a throwback to the Clinton days. He's not an honest broker. He's big. He's very close to George Soros, who's far from a progressive. I mean, this guy Soros is a real Trojan horse inside the Democratic Party. I've said that for years. You look at this guy's record, and you know he's bad news. But anyway, let's play this first clip, if we can, of President Obama with George Bush sitting behind him. And you got to love him for this. The President of the United States said, "We've got to abandon childish ways." And, of course, the child himself was sitting behind him with this sheepish look on his face. I was actually at the Pentagon. At the Capitol building for the inauguration, about 20 rows from the podium, almost dead center. Of course, the Bush family just got up and left very quickly after the ceremony was over, got on the helicopter, and flew back to Texas. Let's listen to this clip of President Obama's inaugural speech. It's he really gets some digs in on what has occurred in this town, in this country over the last 8 years.
On this day, we gather because we have chosen hope over fear, unity of purpose over conflict and discord. On this day, we come to proclaim an end to the petty grievances and false promises, the recriminations and worn-out dogmas that for far too long have strangled our politics. We remain a young nation, but in the words of Scripture, the time has come to set aside childish things. The time has come to reaffirm our enduring spirit, to choose our better history, to carry forward that precious gift, that noble idea passed on from generation to generation, the God-given promise that all are equal, all are free, and all deserve a chance to pursue their full measure of happiness.
Well, there you have it. President Obama giving the inaugural speech, talking about childish ways, about a worn-out dogma, about the fear factor, and all that was sitting right behind him in the person of George W. Bush and the two people that spawned that awful creature, Barbara Bush, who I liken to the alien queen. Instead of leaving her eggs all over a spaceship, she left her egg sacks in various states. Fortunately, Neil Bush never became governor of Colorado because he stole the money from the SNL. Marvin never became governor of Virginia because he ran over his maid in the driveway with a car and killed her. And that leaves Jeb, who I think his political career is over after Florida. And George Bush will probably drink and coke, snort coke into oblivion. So then we have Dorothy, the daughter, who's in Maryland, and her political career went nowhere. Fortunately, I hope we've seen the last of the Bush family in this town. Never say never, but as I had a sign on, a little button that day, it said, "Read my lips, no new Bushes," and I certainly hope we don't make that mistake again. Let's go to the phones. We've got Ken calling in from Atlanta. Ken, are you on the line? Hello, Ken.
Hi, it's not too off the topic, but it is something that's been in the news. You know, a lot of us like to think that you know, everything is connected, and we have all these former DEA, FBI, CIA agents that admit that the government's been involved in drug trafficking, and
yes,
the Luna incident, and the Iran-Contra group. But there's nothing out there that connects, that I've read, that connects the upper tier of our government with the mafia gangs that are running Mexico. So how is that possible, that there's a complete disconnect there when we see so much everywhere else?
Well, I'll tell you, you talk about the gangs in Mexico and the drug gangs and whatnot. If you look down on the Texas border with Mexico, one of the places you'll find is a place called Laredo National Bank. That bank is very, very close to the Bush family, Poppy and the boy. It's been thought of that this bank is very much involved in laundering drug money. I've written about it on the website, but it's not the only one. Certainly, if you look at Florida, you'll find a lot of Latin American laundering going on, Don't worry. That the reason that Felipe Calderon was elected in a razor thin American style election in Mexico, it should have gone to López Obrador, who was the progressive candidate in that election. That election was stolen from him, razor thin theft of that election. But Calderon is obviously part of the old oligarchy in Mexico, and they exist just like the president of Colombia exists. Uribe, who also got a Presidential Medal of Freedom from outgoing Bush, these oligarchs thrive on this drug business, and we all know the Bushes are heavily involved in the drug business. If it weren't for cocaine, I mean, it was George Bush as the head of the CIA that did more than anyone else in turning the Central Intelligence Agency into the cocaine import agency.
But I was thinking more specifically, like, you know, they said there's these four gangs, like mafia-type gangs,
yeah,
in Mexico. And if you, like, went through the name by name and tried to connect those specific groups to anything, you know, I mean, we connect stuff down to, you know, Colombia, South America, and to, Afghanistan and Burma, specific groups in Mexico I just haven't seen. But I understand where you're going with the money laundering aspect, and I can't remember, there was assistant secretary of HUD or something that made a statement about all of the money and, you know, half the money in Wall Street being laundering money.
Oh yeah. Well, let me tell you, HUD is one of the biggest money laundering operations that the government has. HUD is, I was down here a couple years ago, and one of the very senior people said, "What if I were to tell you that this agency alone, this department alone, is missing $55 billion? Now, I was shocked at the amount of money, but now that we know that, you know, Wall Street is going to cost us about $850 billion, you know, $55 billion doesn't seem like a whole lot of money. Senator Everett Dirksen used to say, you know, a billion here, a billion there, pretty soon it adds up to real money. But anyway, the history books have not even begun to be written about the crimes of the last 8 years in the Bush administration. And I think that when we start to dig into it, and fortunately now we've got the Freedom of Information Act on our side, hopefully the National Archives will open up with not only presidential records but all other records, including the documents that Henry Kissinger's been sitting on. It'd be nice to get those released finally to prove once and for all what kind of war criminal that man was. And still is. He's still alive. Unfortunately, he's still with us. I think this guy's going to live. He's going to one day probably be the oldest person in the world and rival those, you know, little old French ladies you read about who, you know, have a cigarette and a glass of wine a day. We'll probably still have Kissinger around in 15 years. But with all what Obama's doing on the I think we're going to hopefully see some of these records open up, and we'll be appalled at what has happened over the last 8 years, because obviously the media never did its job, but the historians may have to pick up where the media failed.
Who's really going to let all of this stuff get out as much as is there? I mean, who really would have enemies and need all the security that he's...
Oh, absolutely, and I think he's got to be, I'll get into that a little later because, you know, we got to watch people like Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney is a very, very dangerous person. He's not leaving the D.C. area. He may be in Wyoming right now, but he's built a big mega mansion out in McLean, Virginia, right near the CIA. He is going to be very, very dangerous. He's going to be a person that needs watching all the time. Anyway, thanks for your call, Ken. And we're going to take this break, and we'll be back to your phone calls.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Matson with the Wayne Matson Report, the Saturday Roundup, and the toll-free number, if you'd like to call into the program, is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. I was mentioning the inauguration, of course, new administration. The one thing that we could not hear very well, and I was, like I say, I was about 20 rows, 15 to 20 rows from the podium, about dead center, when the oath of office came. Chief Justice John Roberts administered the oath. We could only hear something. There was some laughter. We couldn't actually hear it very well. And then, of course, on television later, we realized that it sounded like Obama had erred, but then we found out that it was Roberts who could not recite these few words that are in the Constitution of the oath of office. Whether Roberts did it on purpose, we know he suffers from seizures, but worse than that, I mean, he is a member of the Federalist Society. That is an extreme right-wing organization. I don't know why they use Federalists in their name, because they're anything but Federalists. It's these clowns that came up with the idea of the unitary executive that, basically disregard the judicial and the legislative branch. Everything is ruled from the White House. They used to have impeach Earl Warren bumper stickers all over the place. Not that Earl Warren was a bad guy. I definitely think he was on the Warren Commission on the Kennedy assassination, but he turned out to be much more progressive than the person who appointed him, President Eisenhower, thought. But if there were people who wanted to impeach Earl Warren as Chief Justice, I see no reason why we can't think about impeaching John Roberts. This guy's a corporate lawyer. He was with a corporate law firm in Washington, Hogan and Hartson. His wife is tied up in all kinds of right-wing causes, right-to-life stuff and everything else you can imagine. This guy never got the kind of scrutiny that most people would not get, because he took Sandra Day O'Connor's spot, and when Rehnquist died, he got elevated up to Chief Justice. He wasn't even in there as an associate justice long enough to be tested. He's way out of his league, and he's not a very smart guy, as we saw. He couldn't remember those words. But let's listen to the actual oath of office and how he basically kind of got poor President Obama tripped up on these words. Let's listen to this.
I, Barack Hussein Obama,
do solemnly swear. I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear.
That I will execute the office of President to the United States faithfully.
That I will execute
the office of President of the United States faithfully. And will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
So help you God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
Well, it was the word faithfully that, of course, was the one that was out of place, and it was Roberts that did it. Roberts also talked over Obama, and just given this guy's background, I don't think he tried to ruin the inauguration, the oath, the ceremony. I just don't think Roberts is all that smart. I think he's not a very smart man. He's a corporate lawyer. He has no business determining what's constitutional and what isn't. He was representing all kinds of corporate malefactors as corporate lawyer, including credit unions and probably a lot of people who have ripped us off, the Wall Street ripoff and everything else. It'd be nice to haul him back to Congress and ask him about some of the cases that he was involved with, and if any of them had to do with the grand theft U.S. Treasury that we're seeing going on right now. Let's go back to the phones. Patty's been holding on from New York. Patty, are you with us?
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, hi.
Hi, Mr. Madsen. This is a bit off topic, but I listen to a lot of RBN and other alternative radio shows over the Internet, and I subscribe to a lot of the alternative press. And although we've gone through that 2 weeks of the slaughter of Palestinians, I don't know why no one is advertising the Boycott Israel campaign.
Well, I'll tell you, on my website, I've been boycotting Starbucks because Howard Schultz is a big promoter, of course, of the Israeli government. He's received awards for that. As far as I'm concerned, I do support the boycott of Israeli products.
Yeah, but I just don't know why people aren't talking about it. I'm not saying your program in particular. But Hassan Talawi just came before you, but he didn't give his number, so I couldn't call this.
Right.
There are certain shows on RBN that do particularly focus on Israel and world Jewry, and no one is mentioning Boycott Israel. And yet if that was advertised, more and more people could get on board.
Yes, yes. Well, I know there's been a nascent boycott for a number of years, especially against Jaffa oranges and a few other well-known products that we get from Israel. And is there a website that you have that you'd like to give out to folks that are listening?
Well, to tell you the truth, I just Googled in Boycott Israel. And
no,
when
you
do
yeah,
that,
yeah.
the second site on Wikipedia is a site for innovative minds. And they give a list of all the companies. And then when you click on one of the companies, it'll give you all the list of all the brands.
If you can hold on, Patty.
Yeah.
If you can hold on, we got a short break. We'll bring you back to tell us more about the boycott campaign right after this short break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Madsen with the Wayne Madsen Report Saturday Night Roundup, and we have Patty on the line. If you're still with us, are you still with us, Patty from New York?
Yes, I am. Okay.
I'd like to mention something. You brought up Israel. It's being reported that a CNN opinion poll is saying that 60% of Americans in a survey said they were sympathetic towards the Israelis, compared with 17% who support the Palestinians. Now, this poll was conducted by the Pew Research Center, and let me tell you, both CNN and Pew is very aptly named because it should be PU.
Yeah.
The, the Pew Research Center is they are commission polls. In other words, they know what the outcome's going to be when they commission these polls. And as far as CNN here in Washington, the bureau chief of CNN in Washington is Wolf Blitzer. Yeah. Wolf Blitzer is a former shill for AIPAC, the American right. Israel Public Affairs Committee, right. and also with the Jerusalem Post for a number of years. He's anything but unbiased. He's basically a supporter of Benjamin Netanyahu, who looks like he's going to be the next prime minister of Israel. And I think the boycott idea is good, because if the Israelis are going to elect Likud, they have to feel that in their pocketbooks and their bank accounts. And I agree with you.
There's also not very much that an American can do. I have to laugh when people say, right here, congressman and senator, but those people are already bought and paid for. They don't care about divesting from Israel.
That's
They're
right.
not going to do it.
That's so, right. That's right.
So the thing is, I
just want to mention, Pat Buchanan, we don't agree. I don't agree with him on a lot of things, but he's always treated me very well. One of his favorite expressions is he calls Congress Israeli occupied territory,
right.
which I have to agree with him on.
Well, I know that a lot of the white patriot movement has always called this Zionist occupied government ZOG, but it
right.
really is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, thanks for letting us know about the boycott. And if you're interested in that, just Google it. I know there's a number of sites. There's boycotts, of course, and in Britain too. There's been a big divestment program in Britain,
right.
as well as the United States, and in a couple other countries as well.
Well, that's
so,
the website that gives you all the companies. It's Innovative Minds, and it's out of the UK.
Innovative Minds. Okay.
Yeah, www.inminds.com.uk.
Okay.
Okay, and that'll give you a list of all the companies.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, well, thanks for calling in.
Okay.
Well, let's talking about the inauguration. There was a very unusual event. I think one thing that President Obama is going to have a real problem with is his Vice President Joe Biden. Poor old Joe doesn't know when to keep his mouth shut. It's been a problem for him for a number of years. There was a swearing-in ceremony the day after the 21st of January, the day after the inauguration, where President Obama's there trying to get Biden to swear in the senior staff of the White House. Well, Biden decides he's going to get into cracking jokes about Chief Justice Roberts and some other things. And I can tell you that President Obama was none too pleased, but let's listen to this Joe Biden Saturday Night Live type skit.
Joe, do you want to administer the oath?
Am I doing this again?
For the senior,
staff. All right.
A number of cabinet members have already.
My memory is not as good as Justice Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts. Does anyone have the... No, I...
Wow.
This is the list. Do you have a copy of the oath?
That's the oath right there.
The oath right there. Well, thank you. Now, which senior staff are we doing?
A whole bunch of senior staff. Rise.
All of the senior staff, please rise.
Well,
I will say
there you have it. Joe Biden trying to do a Saturday Night Live skit. President Obama is standing behind him and is not pleased. You can just tell on his face that it's like, you know, we've got some serious things here. And I would just hope that after that episode that President Obama called Biden into the Oval Office and said, look, you know, this is a serious matter here. We've got serious problems in this country. And to turn a swearing-in ceremony for the senior staff. Now, that was everybody from the White House press secretary to the counselors to the president and all the other senior staff. To turn that into some sort of a joke, I just hope that Obama really put his foot down with Joe Biden, because, you know, Biden takes everything pretty lackadaisically. He's been around forever. He was a very young senator when he was elected from Delaware And if looks could kill, I think Joe would have been in some real problems, because the look on Obama's face was just I would not want to be on the receiving end of that look, and certainly Biden was, and I hope that the president followed up his icy stare with some words, because we don't need Joe Biden running around trying to be like a comedy act in a duo or something for the next 4 years. The country's got too many problems to have this Edgar Berg and Charlie McCarthy deal going on. But anyway, that's was the big talk at the White House this past week with Joe Biden getting the business from at least in a very visual way from President Obama. Again, if you'd like to call into the program, the number is 800-313-9443. Let's also listen to this a clip. I mentioned earlier, Vice President Cheney is going to need a lot of watching. He's going to be living in McLean, Virginia, a stone's throw from the CIA. He's got a house in Jackson, Wyoming. That's where he's at right now, as far as we know. He also has a place next to his buddy Don Rumsfeld over in the eastern shore of Maryland and in St. Michael's. So he's going to be spending a lot of time in the Washington area. Now, he had this thing going on with, he said he twisted his back moving some boxes the day before the inauguration. God knows what's in those boxes. Cheney, who spent most of his time in secret undisclosed locations and in underground lairs, this guy is a plotter. He's been a plotter all of his life. He plotted against Richard Nixon. He plotted against Jimmy Carter. He plotted against so many people, and I just feel he's going to be plotting against President Obama and this administration. But let's listen to Keith Olbermann, how he reported the Cheney back twisting the night before the inauguration.
Good evening from Washington. This is Monday, January 19th, hours until the inauguration of President-elect Barack Obama and the end of an error. And there is breaking news at this hour that seems like a metaphor for that error. Vice President Cheney has today hurt his back while moving boxes into his new home in McLean, Virginia. He will attend tomorrow's inauguration here in a wheelchair.
Well, how about the cheers from the people who were listening to that broadcast from outside the booth when they heard that Cheney twisted his back? I mean, a couple people have told me that the only thing that ought to be twisted on Cheney is his neck hanging from a noose. The man is a traitor to this nation. We can go on and on and on about what he's done. The release of a CIA covert agent's name and her entire covert operations, covert operation, the Brewster Jennings, Valerie Plame Wilson incident was grounds enough right there. It was treason. And, it's very clear what we do to traitors in times of war. The Bush administration told us we were in war. We were in a war situation. And so, Cheney and Libby and the rest, released the, names of a CIA agent and their covert team. That's treasonous. That's called, that's a traitor by any reasonable definition. It is quite interesting too that everyone who was expecting Bush to issue an 11th hour pardon list, they were highly disappointed. This may be the first time we actually saw a break between Bush and Cheney. Maybe Bush sobered up long enough after 8 years of being told by Cheney what to do to say, no, I'm not going to pardon your friend Scooter Libby. Libby did not get the pardon. Big surprise. He got his sentence commuted, certainly, but there was no pardon, which means that Scooter Libby cannot practice law, because had he been pardoned, he would have been able to get back into the law practice here in Washington. He's still hanging around some neocon think tanks, but Cheney apparently made a comment that he was very disappointed that Bush had not pardoned Scooter Libby. Well, it may be the only thing Bush ever did that I can agree with. He also, Bush did not pardon Jonathan Pollard, the convicted spy for Israel. He was convicted back in the 80s for giving basically the Israelis what amounts to a garage full of classified documents. I remember that case vividly. I was still working in the Navy. I was at the National Security Agency. 1985 was, of course, called the Year of the Spy. We had so many spies back then, Pollard being one of the more egregious ones, along with the Walker ring. But when they estimated how much Pollard had handed the Israelis, it was estimated later that it was a garage full of documents over the several years. Randy's calling in from Texas. Randy, are you on the line?
Hello, how are you doing this evening?
Good, good. Good to have you on.
Great. You got good shows on. I would like to bring to everyone's attention something that I think all these money changers and Zionist leathers, they have had us by the short half of ever since 1913 and probably even back as far as old Honest Abe Lincoln. But in actuality, we have them by the short hair. If we will wake up our stupid eyes and pay attention, we can start a credit card revolt in this country. We don't have to fire a shot with a rifle or a shotgun. Quit paying them credit cards after you max them out. Take your wife on a shopping spree. Go on a vacation. Max them cards out. And quit paying, and when they call you, tell them that it's been paid in full due to the bank bailout.
Well, you know, Randy, let me tell you, we had a presidential candidate who actually said that during one of the debates. He said, look, I ran up my credit cards, and he says, the heck with the credit card companies. I just declared bankruptcy. I don't know if you remember, but that was former Senator Mike Gravel who said that in one of the Democratic debates. Of course, he was roundly condemned for that comment. Oh yes, Randy. I'm sorry, we seem to have lost the connection. If you could just call back and we'll get back to your comment about not paying the credit cards. But you know, the credit cards now, from what I understand, banks are now limiting credit card issuances. They're starting to cut back on the credit limit. But I just have a funny feeling we have not seen the worst of what we're you know, this economic collapse. The first government that's looks like it will fall before the end of this weekend is the government of Iceland. Their banks have all collapsed. The banks were insolvent. They owe a lot of money, billions of dollars. I mean, from this little country, Iceland, to all these investors in Europe and elsewhere. There were riots in Reykjavik. I was once stationed in Iceland. It was one of the most peaceful countries you could imagine. And now the mere fact that the police had to use tear gas and pepper spray for the first time in 60 years in Reykjavik is just amazing. But I think Iceland will be the first. We've seen rioting in Greece, in Bulgaria, in Latvia, in Lithuania. But the best is yet to come, because the French authorities are worried about a return to the streets of 1968 in Paris, a popular revolt that might make that look like a month in the French countryside. Certainly Germany and Sweden are doing everything they can to prevent any kind of revolt with stimulus packages there. And we're going to see it probably here in the United States. I think that's why President Obama is trying to move as quickly as he can. He's talking about health care for the unemployed, construction, sort of like the Work Project Administration and FDR, Franklin Roosevelt, put through. He's talking about infrastructure projects, roads, bridges, transmission lines for communications and power. I think he realizes that a Roosevelt-type deal, New Deal, not to sound – too cliche about it, is what this country needs, because emergency action must be taken. And you listen to these Republicans, and they're saying, oh, well, we think tax cuts. Tax cuts, that's what got us into this present position. Tax cuts for billionaires, all these handouts to these billionaires. Now we find out that the head of Merrill Lynch, who was the head of the New York Stock Exchange when Bernie Madoff was the head of NASDAQ, was taking bailout money to buy drapes for his office at Merrill Lynch. These people don't need to go to jail. They need to be put under the jail. And I think the president understands how upset the country is. He sounded pretty upset about the Merrill Lynch fellow, this guy Thane, and his draperies, his thousands of dollars, tens of thousands in draperies this guy built the taxpayers for. But we're seeing it start in Iceland, and it spread to the Baltics and then the Balkans, and I think we're going to see it hitting Paris and Britain. Britain has now slipped officially into a recession. The pound is down on the dollar, low as the lowest it's been since 1985. But that doesn't mean that, you know, there's just no money here. Somebody said, when are you coming to Europe next time? I can't afford to go to Europe. I haven't been able to afford to go to Europe in a number of years because, it's just the economy is so bad. And I think we're obviously going to see things get much worse. I mentioned Europe. I don't want to sound Europe-centric, but we see similar things in Asia. The rioting in Thailand, although it was largely political, had an economic underpinning to it. And we see similar street demonstrations going on in South Korea. But I think we're about ready to see, a worldwide revolt against business as usual, because this business of bailing out billionaires and the ripoffs and the Ponzi schemes and WTO and NAFTA and unbridled trade and acquisitions and outsourcing jobs overseas. Now we're seeing the effect of it, and the people don't like it, and that's the way it is. And I think we're going to have some real interesting things on the streets very soon. We will be right back after this short break. Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup. I was mentioning what Dick Cheney may be up to, and I think this guy, he needs to get a little bit of the same surveillance he's been conducting against the rest of us for all these many, many years. I would note that former Bush speechwriter Mark Tyson has just posted an article at the National Review, which may give us an idea what these neocons may have in store. Obviously, they don't like the fact that President Obama has rolled back the CIA torture program, and hopefully the kidnapping will go the way of the wind as well. He's shutting down Guantanamo. But here's what Tyson is writing in the neocon rag, the National Review. This just came out. Tyson, a former speechwriter for Bush, said the CIA program he, Obama, is effectively shutting down is the reason why America has not been attacked again after 9/11. He has removed the tool that is singularly responsible for stopping Al-Qaeda from flying planes into the Library Tower in Los Angeles, Heathrow Airport, and London's Canary Wharf. Well, he said these are the reasons why America has not been attacked. Well, I got news from Mr. Tyson. Heathrow Airport and London's Canary Wharf are not in America. Might want to check a map next time you write some bloviating propaganda like this. He also says, and blowing up apartment buildings in Chicago, among other plots. Now, this is Tyson. It's not even the end of Inauguration Week, and Obama is already proving to be the most dangerous man ever to occupy the Oval Office. No, Mr. Tyson, that's your former boss. That was George Bush was the most dangerous man to occupy the Oval Office ever, and that includes Richard Nixon and Warren Harding and anybody else you can imagine that served in that. He's the worst president of the United States, and it's too bad these idiots like Tyson who bloviate for the neocon wing of the Republican Party put out this claptrap. But I think we have to be very wary. Are these guys planning to give Obama a 9/11? And I think when he talks, this guy Tyson talks about Al-Qaeda, how ridiculous. Everybody knows that Al-Qaeda was invented by the CIA. It was used on 9/11. And anybody who thinks that these 19 guys with box cutters brought down a multi-trillion-dollar U.S. military intelligence operation, I got a bridge to sell you, a very nice bridge. It goes from Brooklyn to southern Manhattan. You'll really like that bridge. But anyway, I have... oddly enough, been invited to the Republican National Committee winter meeting this week, this coming week in Washington, D.C. It's also going to be a beauty contest for 2012 and Republican candidates. I imagine Sarah Palin will be there. But I intend to go and listen to what these nuts are having, you know, having to talk about. And maybe we can get some idea of what these crazies in the Republican Party have planned for the country. I'll give them a taste of their own medicine. They want me to be at their little confab here in Washington. I'll be more than happy to go, and I will be taking notes and taking names if I have to. And if I hear anybody like Mr. Tyson talking about plots and the president being dangerous, I'll be sure to pass it along to the Obama White House as best as I can, because I think we really have to be careful about what these crazies have in store for our country in the next 4 years. Anyway, we will be back with you this time next week here on the Wayne Matson Report, the Saturday Roundup. Thanks for joining us. This is Wayne Matson coming to you tonight from Washington, D.C.